Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song, the melody.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your co-host with Stevie A, and my name is Foltz.
What up, Foltz?
Not too much. Ready to perform a great show for you guys tonight, and we're going to take it a little lighter tonight. We're not going to go as in-depth with our last couple episodes, which could have involved a lot of thinking, and on our first cast, maybe a lot of mind-blowing. But we're going to stick with a little lightheartedness tonight, and we're going to go with a Christmas episode. And we hope that that's okay with everybody, being that it is the Christmas season. And I know that I'm enjoying it.
I am also enjoying it. We've got less than a week left, and I am just enthralled in Christmas right now.
I am too. I have to say, it's definitely my favorite holiday. And I love Christmas, but I have to say that aside from Christmas Day, I love the build up to Christmas the most. I'm not trying to sound like a Scrooge or anything, but Christmas Day itself to me sometimes is almost a little bit of a letdown. Because if you have children and they want to open their gifts as quickly as possible, and after that's over, it's kind of just like, wow, there was a lot of preparation going into this holiday. And now, you know, I guess we're just going to sit around. So I like the build up, the hustle and bustle, the Christmas music, the kids going to see Santa Claus, and all the different family traditions that go along with the Christmas season is what I like.
I'm with you on that. Obviously, Subtle Beast has the utmost regard for children, and this is definitely a children-friendly podcast.
Absolutely.
So the hearts of children are what drive Christmas for me. Just to watch them open the gifts and to watch their eyes pop, it is amazing what Santa Claus does, and I give it up to my man.
Oh, absolutely. Santa Claus is alive and well in our home and always will be. We have the utmost respect for jolly old Saint Nick, and I just think it's one of the most important parts of the holiday is getting ready for him to get his reindeer all ready to go to make that big trip around the world. There's nothing more exciting to not only children, but adults as well, being able to see that twinkle in their eye.
I heard a rumor, and this is a new fact for me. One of the ways that Santa Claus gets into the chimney is that by traveling, because he travels so fast.
Okay.
By traveling, it almost is at the speed of sound. He's traveling so fast that it actually makes him smaller, and he can fly right down the chimney.
Wow, that's an interesting fact. I can honestly say I didn't know that. But another fact that I did know about Santa Claus is that when he begins his trip, time travels with him. So for us, we're carrying on doing our normal things, going to church, having a big Christmas Eve meal. But to Santa Claus, everything is slowed down and the night does not stop.
That is awesome. I didn't know that.
Until the last gift is delivered and he is on his jolly way home.
You know, my wife is a huge fan of Christmas as well. And one of the things that we love to do is to go out and drive around and look at the Christmas lights.
Oh, definitely. We live in a great area for that. In my neighborhood, we have a few homes out in my neighborhood that do a nice display. But we have a neighborhood, two neighborhoods over from us is a really, really nice neighborhood, and they go above and beyond. As a matter of fact, I think within the last year or so, this one house that used to go all out was on the news at least every year because of the setup that they had. But I think that the couple was getting up in years, and they're not doing it anymore, and I'm not sure if their children are local or not, but Yeah, it is a great time. Put on some Christmas music, pack the kids in the car, and just go have a fun time. And not only that, we live so close to Hershey, Pennsylvania, that in Hershey, Pennsylvania, they have what is called Sweet Lights.
And it is sweet. It is so awesome there.
It is. I mean, if you've never been to Hershey, Pennsylvania before, do yourself a favor and book a trip for the family. And during the Christmas season, they have the park open, some rides, but it's just so decked out for the holidays, and it's gorgeous. And the Sweet Lights, you can pack everybody you can into a carload for $20 and drive through this beautiful arrangement of lights, and it's a must do at Christmas time.
It has been transferred over to LED, so it is just, the coloring is magnificent. Sweet Lights is perfect.
And you can see it just driving through Hershey. I mean, driving in the main drag of Route 39, going into Hershey, or even coming in on Route 322 before you get to the park, you can't miss it. I mean, the sky's lit up. It's beautiful. You can see the Kissing Tower off in the distance, and it's lit up, I believe, with a big Christmas tree on top.
That's right, the Christmas tree on top, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a great time of year. We're only about 6 days out from Christmas, today being December 19th. A very special day to me, too, not only Christmas, but today is my daughter's 10th birthday, so happy birthday to my baby girl, Madison Charlize.
Happy birthday, Madison.
So we had a great, great evening tonight with her favorite dinner. I made sliders. We had her birthday cake. She opened her presents. And to not disappoint any of our listeners out there, we're right back in the studio. And we're delivering you our Christmas episode. So let's get right into it, Steve.
I am happy to be here. It's such a celebratory time of year, and I really couldn't wait to get over to the studio so that we could record this together. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and we got into the studio. I arrived a little bit before Steve. And when he got here, he came in the door like a jolly old Saint Nick himself, and he brought me a Christmas gift. And it was great.
I couldn't help myself.
Hey, I'm happy to receive. I can't say that I'm not.
I found a gift worth giving.
Yeah, and should I tell them a little bit about the gift?
Yeah.
Okay, we will. I'll start with saying I think Steve was a little bit hesitant because in the future we do want to cover this topic. But I don't think that's going to take away anything from it.
No.
But he delivered to me tonight one of those virtual reality goggles, glasses thing that you put your cell phone into.
I think a lot of the listeners will be able to relate because there's a commercial on TV right now with a mature gentleman sitting on a bench, and he puts it on for the first time, and
yes,
and he's just like, whoa.
And he turns to his wife and's like, you got to try this.
Yeah.
Well, I've used one maybe once when I was in a department store and put one on, and it was cool. It was more or less I was in like a shark tank and sharks were coming at me, but it was more like cartoonish. But this gift that Steve brought me tonight, he had showed me some apps that he was playing around with his family last night, and it was I was on a tightrope walking in between.
That one is my favorite one.
The World Trade Center.
This is so crazy.
And you can just look at a 360-degree view, and it's wild.
Don't look down.
I did. And you're standing still. The program's walking for you, but it just seems so realistic. I almost lost my balance one time, and I thought I was going down 1,000 feet. So, great gift. I thank Steve so much for it, because when we wrap up here in the studio tonight and I go home, I'm sure my kids and my wife, for that matter, are going to have hours of fun with this.
Yeah, it's a dream vision, and the dream vision is cool, man. It's just it completely envelops you, and you get to experience something that you would never experience. There's no way I could do that.
Oh, no way, because not only wouldn't I, you couldn't talk me into doing, you couldn't pay me enough. Well, first of all, I can barely walk a straight line walking down the street, let alone put me in this certain type of slippers, put me up a couple thousand feet and try and walk. But
I'm just excited to continue to look at for more apps. I think that what I'd like to find is one that does backflips on a motorcycle.
That would be neat.
I think that would be really cool. What, Travis Pastrano?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that that would be really cool if you could get on that. And
or do the Superman trick that he does where he's hanging off the back of the motorcycle.
But from like your, what is that, first point, first person?
Yeah, first person.
Yeah, from first person, I think it would just feel so cool to do that.
Absolutely. So if any of you are still, with there only being 6 days left, struggling to find a good present for somebody, you can't go wrong with this. I'm pretty sure everyone probably has a smartphone at this time. If not, still get it for them. Maybe that'll give them a little bit of a boost to get up there and get themselves a nice phone or something like that. But it, what a great gift, and I can't express how much joy I am. I have for Steve for bringing that to me tonight. I'm really liking it, and I can't wait to share it.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure.
So keeping with our theme for Christmas time, I think we discussed, you know, driving around, looking at the lights. We both come from different backgrounds, but similar backgrounds. I come from an Italian heritage, which may seem a little funny for our listeners to hear, being that when I introduce myself, I say my name's Foltz.
Which is, sounds German.
Yep. And the German, it is. And it comes from my father's father.
Smart guy.
Yep. Very smart man.
Even Italian.
And obviously his last name was Foltz, and he married my grandmother, and her last name was Gucciardo. Her maiden name was Gucciardo.
That's so cool.
And on my mother's side of the family, my mother's maiden name was Caputo. So they're very much Italian, but I have a German last name. But what I'm getting at is we come from similar but different backgrounds. My background is Italian, and Steve Apostolopoulos is obviously Greek. So, Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about what are some of your family traditions that you've had your whole life and that you're carrying out to this day?
Yeah, well, every year we would have my grandparents come over to the house on Christmas morning.
Okay.
And, you know, Christmas Eve, my brother and I would go to sleep. We would wake up in the morning after Santa came, and we'd have our presents to open, and Yaya and Papul would come over, and we would open the presents with my parents and with Yaya and Papul.
Fantastic. And what, and Steve is referring to his grandparents, and one of the crazy things is if you've been following our podcast and you know the background story of how long Steve and I have known each other, my grandmother, with the last name of Gucciardo before she became a Foltz, she actually knew Steve's grandmother, his Yaya, way back before our dads were even alive, and they were good friends. They talked on the phone a lot because they worked for, I believe it was the same company or similar companies, and they spoke a lot, and I don't know if they lost touch for a little while, but then they both ended up naming their son Steve, and then fast forward to their sons growing up and having children, and then me and Steve becoming lifelong friends that we are. It's pretty crazy.
It is. It has always been a special story for me that our grandmothers were friends because we were both close to our grandmothers.
Absolutely, and they're definitely missed dearly. They're able to celebrate Christmas in heaven, but they're definitely thought of.
And the Italian name for grandma?
Is we called our grandmother Nunny.
Okay.
It can be pronounced Nunny, or it can be pronounced Nona, but we went with the Nunny, and either way is correct.
I love the variations.
Absolutely.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah, so we had some fun times growing up too, and in the Italian heritage, Christmas Eve was always the big night. In the Italian family, you always had a really big meal on Christmas Eve, and we celebrated it with the seven fishes.
Ooh.
Yeah, so every Christmas Eve, they always cooked up a big seafood buffet with at least seven fishes. There's debate out there whether it's for the seven sacraments or, you know, I'm drawing a blank right at this time, but it's... I believe it's the seven sacraments, but there are some other interpretations of it. So we always had a smorgasbord of either shrimp and clams and crab.
Oh, that sounds so
lobster
good.
And we had this one famous dish that we made. It's called a skunjili, which is actually the conch. So you would get the meat from inside of the conch shell, and you would cut it up really fine and put it into a homemade tomato sauce, but it was and then you put in some cayenne pepper and made it really spicy.
Man, so you're making me hungry right now.
It's great, and I'll tell you what, ever since I was a kid, we've done that, and you know, now that I'm grown with my family, it's a tradition that continues to carry on. And then, of course, we would always go to Mass on Christmas Eve. And then we would come home, and we would hang out for a little while, and my dad would always read "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" to us. And my dad actually wrote his own story called "The Ugly Tree," which, unfortunately, after my dad passed, we actually were able to get the book published. So now we have the book published, and we have all the illustrations to go with it. And it all started from a story one night. My mom and dad were laying in bed, and my mom just turned to my dad and said, "Tell me a story." And he told her a story right off the top of his head. And it was so good that my mom was like, "You need to put pen to paper and keep that story alive." And it's been a story that it's been read to us our entire lives. And I read it to my children now. And before we would put the milk and cookies out for Santa and try and go to sleep with anticipation for the Christmas presents the next day, we were allowed to open one present that night, but it was the presents from each other, like the present I would give to my brother or to my sister. We were allowed to exchange those just to get a little bit of the excitement out of our systems.
Until, just so you could sleep.
Yeah, which was really hard to do anyway, which now having kids, I understand. But all those traditions that I just explained, we're still carrying over into today's youth, and I hope that my kids one day continue to do so.
Tradition is always the cornerstone of a family. I remember being so small and having socks on and standing on the baseboard heater in my bedroom and the fog, like just holding on to the bottom of the window, and my nose would fog the glass up, just looking up at the sky, waiting for them.
Just hoping to catch a glimpse.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are doing this in your family yet, but one of the great traditions that we're carrying on now, which only was started within the last couple years, I guess Santa Claus came up with something new for all of us, but called the Elf on the Shelf.
That's cool.
Yeah, the Elf on the Shelf, for those that aren't familiar with it, Santa sent out books, and he in the book, he included your own personal elf that you got to name and give him a birth certificate, I believe. And the great thing about it is that the elf is a scout elf. So you put him out. Ours usually comes back from the North Pole right after Thanksgiving. And what the scout elf does is he hangs around the house and he is observing the children, making sure that they're behaving. And each night after the children and everybody in the household go to sleep, he returns to the North Pole and reports back to Santa Claus what he has observed. And maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but he'll do so nonetheless. And then after he reports to Santa Claus, he flies back to each child's house. And I know that a lot of the different scout elves have different personalities and do different things. Our elf's name is Twinkle. And when he comes back every night after reporting, he always hides in a different spot in our house. So the children have to find him and locate him the next day, and that's all part of the fun. But one of the things that children out there, you have to understand, is that you can't touch these elves. These elves are just to be looked at and admired, and if your elf hides, all you want to do is find him, because if you touch them, they can lose their power and they are no longer able to fly and report back to Santa, and you might find yourselves in a little bit of trouble if your scout elf can't report back and Santa's wondering where he is. So None of our children have ever touched him, at least on purpose. And he comes back and visits us from year to year. And I guess he's always giving Santa good reports because my kids are making out like bandits every Christmas. I wish I would have had a scout elf when I was a child.
Yes, I think the idea of a scout elf is fantastic. And I think that because Jackson can't write yet, that I am going to personally write a letter to Santa requesting a book and a scout elf to come to our house.
Yeah, I think your son would be at the perfect age that he would just love something like that. And not only does the scout elf help out with reporting back to Santa, this scout elf it teaches children a lot of responsibility on, you know, having restraint and just knowing, you know, as much as you want to grab a hold and play with your elf, that it's hands off because he's got a job to do and he just got to observe and love on him from a distance. But there are some scout elves that I've seen on Facebook and other social media that they can do some pretty neat things. They'll set up different. I've seen some with hunting blinds and they're hiding him in the morning, or they set up all types of a bakery, like cookies and candies for the kids. So it's a really fun holiday tradition to carry on, and I look forward to Twinkle being with us for some time.
A scout elf. I'm so excited to request a scout elf.
So even though that your son is not at the age where he's writing to Santa, I'm sure he pretty much knows what he wants him to bring this year. What are some of the things that he has on his list that he's verbalized to you?
Well, he is a huge fan of Paw Patrol.
I know Paw Patrol very well.
And there's a Paw Patroller that he very much would like to have. So if Santa's listening out there, Jackson would like a Paw Patroller.
I'm sure Santa's listening, and I'm sure without a doubt that Jackson's been a good boy, and I'm sure he'll get what he's looking for.
Yeah, he's been a good boy this year.
My children are at interesting ages now. I have two teenage boys, one 17 and one 15. So Santa is having a tough time, I'm sure, with pulling off some of the things that they desire, because it's gone a long way from wanting toys and different things to play with to now it's all about the electronics. And I don't know. I think Santa has a lot of updating maybe to do at his workshop. I know that he does provide a lot of electronics and a lot of great things, but I know that he's having a hard time getting out the quantity that he would like. But however, on the flip side, we do have two daughters. Like I said, my daughter's birthday today, she just turned 10, and my other daughter, Giada, is 8 years old, and they're just typical little girls wanting whatever the latest and greatest toy is. I know that they made lists, and I know that Twinkle, our elf, has delivered them. So it'll be interesting to see how good the children were and see if Santa fulfills their lists.
Well, yeah, only Santa knows who's been naughty and nice.
That's true. And speaking of that, do you have yourself a favorite Christmas song that you like to listen to throughout the year?
Oh, man, I do.
Not throughout the year, I should say, throughout the Christmas season.
I do like one in particular. I like the Frosty song.
I can't go wrong with Frosty.
It is one of my favorites. Every time I hear it, I gotta turn it up.
Yep, I agree. I love Frosty. I've always been a huge fan of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And aside from the song, I've always loved the cartoon that comes on every year. It's almost like that stop animation.
Oh, yeah.
And even as an adult, a 40-year-old man, when I come across some type of Rudolph paraphernalia just from that show, I seem to purchase it. I even have a few action figures in the studio that I picked up recently that I have on display just because I love it so much. And I have a Rudolph Monopoly game, and you name it, I'm still collecting it because it just makes me feel like a kid again. And what better time to be able to feel like a kid again than at Christmas time? And
it brings back that nostalgia.
Absolutely. And
how far back can you remember?
Let's see. I think I could probably remember as far back as about 5 years old.
I think that's a good age. I think I remember back to being 5 years old, not necessarily at Christmas. I have a few memories of being 5 years old.
Yeah, I think 5 years old is about the age where everyone seems to come online.
Right.
If you think back in your memory bank, and I think maybe it's because it has a lot to do with that's when you're starting school, I guess officially, you're in kindergarten. But
I can remember a few thoughts around when my brother was being born, and there's 4 years apart from each of us. I remember the chocolate milk that they were giving my mom in the hospital when my brother was born, because she wouldn't drink it. She would just give it to me. So I remember looking forward to going to the hospital to visit my mom and my new little brother.
Score for Stevie A.
And getting the chocolate. And I also remember that during the days when my mom was in the hospital having my little brother, that my dad and I built a treehouse out back, and it was a very small treehouse, you know, in comparison. Like, it was a couple of 2x4s.
I can remember coming over to your house, maybe even in later years than 5 years old, maybe like junior high, and I think the treehouse was off limits at that time just because of it was starting to get a little bit old. But yeah, I when I think back to 5 years old at Christmas time, I think about me and my brother and sister, and we would sit at the top of the stairs waiting for the okay to come down, because my mom and dad would go down and they would get the coffee started. My dad had to get a fire started. And back then, we really didn't have any type of video recorder. So my dad would always make sure to set up just an audio recorder that he would hit record on so that he could hear our voices and hear everything that was going on. And while they were doing that, of course, one of us would try and get brave and try and sneak down. We had to go down two different flights of stairs, and then right around the corner was the Christmas tree. But my Nana, my mom's mom, she was like on patrol. And I can remember trying, when you get to the bottom of the second stairs and you try and turn that corner before you could even see the tree, she had this claw grip, and she would grab you by your tricep and bicep, and she would squeeze so hard you'd be in mercy, and you would just go right back up and wait for the okay to come down. But once you got that, it was just like, there's no other feeling. And I guess that's why people say to this day, I'm like a kid on Christmas morning, because you can't beat that feeling.
It is the same but different for everyone. It's just the epitome of youth. And I remember, it wasn't 5 years old. It was probably 7 years old, having a record player. And at that particular Christmas, I remember Uncle Lou coming over, and I remember getting, we could probably figure it out mathematically because of the songs that I'm about to tell you. I remember getting 45s, which are records,
wow,
small records, and I remember getting George Harrison, "And It's Gonna Take Time."
Okay.
"A Whole Lot of Spending Time."
So I'm wondering, I'm thinking we might be thinking around 87, maybe.
Well, I'll give you a couple more. Paula Abdul, "Straight Up Now Tell Me."
Wow, I got a good story about Paula Abdul and Stevie A after he finishes his story.
And "Pump Up the Jam."
Okay.
"Pump Up the Jam." And we would play those so often. And also, you could play the radio, and so the stereo that I had was a double cassette deck radio, and the records went on the top, and you could flip between radio and record to make the scratching sound.
Awesome.
And record on the double deck, so you could play radio, record the off of the radio, and incorporate your own scratching.
Wow. Well, I just went and looked up on the computer while you were talking, and that first Paula Abdul was came out June 13th of 88, so it would have been the Christmas of 87. I believe. Well, maybe not, because if the release date was June 13th, maybe, I guess obviously then it would be Christmas 88. So I was off by a year. But
which makes me way older than that.
Yeah. Right. So that would have made us 12.
11, right, if I was a 77er.
Yeah. So funny story about Paul Abdul. I can remember when Steve and I were in sixth grade, and we had this class together, and the teacher's name was Mr. Hendrickson. He was a great guy, really funny, got along with kids great. But he did this project where you had to think up a bunch of questions. Everybody had the same questions, but then you'd split off into pairs and ask each other the questions and see what the answers were. And then you'd have to get up. Like, for instance, after I was finished asking Steve the questions, I'd have to get up in the front of the class and read the answers. And one of them came to, who are your favorite musicians or singers? And I remember Steve, one of them was LL Cool J, said. And the other one, he said Paula Abdul. But at this point, I hadn't heard of her yet. So I remember thinking that he said Paul Abdul. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder who this guy is. I know Steve's really into hip hop. I was like, I'm going to have to try and search this guy out. And then when my sister finally got to Paula Abdul, I was like, Paula Abdul. I was like, I guess I got to stop searching for this Paul guy running around with his music career.
Oh, and she's been such a huge impact in society with all her success.
Oh, yeah. When she did, American Idol and all that. And
yeah, that is way back to hear her first stuff come out.
Yeah, it's so funny to me because every time I hear the name Paula Abdul, I go right back to that class in sixth grade and thinking to myself, I remember thinking this person was Paul Abdul. But
so what were some of your early gifts? Or maybe some of your favorite gifts. It doesn't have to be early gifts. Just okay. Some of your favorite gifts.
Well, I'm going to go back with early and favorites. When I was a child, He-Man was very big. And Star Wars
He-Man, yeah.
was very big. But I can remember the one Christmas morning when I saw this big box. I was like, I'm going to try and save it for last. And I got a lot of He-Man figures that year. And then when I finally opened up this box, and it was Castle Grayskull.
Oh.
And so that must have made me probably maybe 4 years old, because I know that Steve had shared on an earlier podcast, his earliest memory of meeting me was with T-Ball. Well, one of my earliest memories of meeting Steve was on the school bus, and I had brought my Castle Grayskull in for show and tell. And when we were going home from school, Steve was across from me on the bus, and he asked if he could see and check out my Castle Grayskull. And I was like, yeah. So I slid over into the seat that he was sitting with my Castle Grayskull, and he was checking it out, and that's one of my earliest memories. So that was definitely a long time ago.
What a great gift, too. What a...
Oh, yeah. Just occupying the imagination for hours. And then I can remember maybe the following Christmas or two Christmases later, getting the evil equivalent Snake Mountain. And it came with, like, the big snake head was a microphone, and it had all of, like, the trap doors and everything.
Cool.
Very cool. I must have been a really, really good boy when I was little, because I made out with He-Man figures and He-Man paraphernalia in a way that most kids would be jealous of. And I still have all of my He-Man figures to this day. I don't know what happened to my Castle Grayskull or Snake Mountain. My dad probably sold them at a yard sale for a nickel. But
that's what happens. You got to get rid of this stuff.
It is. My sister used to have these life-size dolls. And whenever spring came around and the neighborhood yard sale came, my dad, he would sneak into our rooms while we were sleeping and grab stuff to sell for a quarter. And my sister woke up and she went to her bedroom window to see how the yard sale was going. And she saw her favorite doll going down the street over the shoulder of some guy. And my dad just sold it for a quarter. Classic. But yeah, so I'm going to go with the Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain and He-Man stuff. How about you? What are some of your favorites as a kid? Or
I don't know how this one happened logistically, but I know that we got a Nintendo for Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a life changer. That's a game changer for anyone.
Absolutely, the Nintendo. Oh, because at our age, it was the step, because we went from Atari 2600 to Nintendo. We didn't have the ColecoVision or anything like that.
And it was early, because I remember being in Greece and getting an international call going between my mom and my dad saying, "Here, your mom wants to tell you something." And when I said hello, she just put my brother on, and he said, "I beat Zelda."
Wow.
That was his international news, was that he had beat Zelda, which we spent hours, days, like crazy amount of time on Zelda.
I can remember playing Legend of Zelda, and it was a lot of fun. I can remember Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, yeah.
And getting to Mike Tyson, and I couldn't beat him.
He wrecked you.
Oh, he destroyed. But I went to school with a kid, and I haven't seen him or heard from him in years. I hope he's doing well. I'm going to drop his name. That way, if he's listening to this podcast somehow, come and check us out on our Facebook page, Subtle Beast, and let me know that you heard this. His name was Robert Fitzgerald, and he went by the nickname of Flounder. And he could beat Mike Tyson. And he told me this one day, and I didn't believe him. And back then, if you could beat Mike Tyson and you could prove it with a picture and send it into Nintendo, they would publish it in Nintendo Magazine. So he came over. He beat Tyson. I remember grabbing one of my mom's old school cameras and snapping a picture of it, which I don't think I ever got developed, just in hoping. I'm like, yes, we're going to be in Nintendo Magazine. But just to see him beat Mike Tyson was like one of the thrills of my adolescence. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Still to this day.
Still in high hopes of seeing somebody. But you know what? I hear that they just brought out a new Nintendo system that like has the like 40 or 50 games loaded onto it. So you might get your wish.
I have been checking it out. And I think part of the coolness of this new Nintendo is that it's a miniature.
Yeah,
The game console is a mini. The controller's still large, but the console itself is a mini, and they're reasonably priced.
Yeah, I think it's maybe $50, maybe.
Right. So as they become more readily available, I know that, man, you think they'll have Contra and Excitebike?
I know for a fact Excitebike is loaded on there.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to check for Contra.
I don't know how many top 5.
Oh yeah, Excitebike. I like Excitebike so much that sometimes I use it into my crazy world of the languages that I use. Someone will be like, "How's your day going? What do you have going on?" I'll be like, "Oh man, just listen to this. Tomorrow I'm doing this, and I'm so Excitebike about it."
That's a good
and
one.
And if you grew up with this person, they're just like, "Whoa, Excitebike!" They remember it, and they're just like, "I used to love the big ramps, make myself go flying."
Yeah, you could make your own track, and it just could be as easy or as hard as you wanted it to be.
Oh yeah, I can remember just making the big ramps, like every like maybe 50 yards, it'd just be like, "Whoom, whoom, whoom!" So much fun, classic game. I'll definitely get it too.
Do you remember the cheat code for Contra?
Oh, is it up, up, down, down,
up, down? Wait. Yeah, yeah.
Up, up, down, down.
Left, left, right, right.
A, B, A, B, or something.
Start select.
Yeah. And you'd get like unlimited lives or like 30 lives or something like that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love it. Now, when we wrap up here in the studio, I got to look to see if Contra's listed on there.
Yeah. I want Contra and Excitebike.
Yeah. I recently saw on Facebook, sometimes people will post, "If you know what this is, you had a great childhood." And all it said was up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, start, select.
Do you remember TNC Surf Design?
Loved it.
Oh, that was so great.
I used to, when I played that, I loved the logo of TNC Surf Design so much. I was like, man, if I could get that on a t-shirt and wore that to school,
that would make you I'd be so cool.
Oh my God, I probably would have become like president of student council or something.
That's the one where you could ride, you go up on the wave. You could ride the wave up.
Yep.
Oh.
The one game I had, and I thought it was going to be amazing, and I ended up hating it, and I think I still hate it to this day, which is ironic because I love the movie, was the Top Gun game.
Oh.
Did you ever play this?
I've never played it, but I do love that movie.
I never got past the first minute of this game. You started off, I guess you were Maverick, and you just had to come in. It was in first person, and you had to land your F-14 on the aircraft carrier. Never once
land. Nope.
I just always crashed into the front of the aircraft carrier, throw the controller over to my brother, crash. And you didn't have the internet back then, so it wasn't like you could look up and be like, okay, how do I land this dang plane? Nothing. And I think we stopped playing it.
But you could rent games, and one of our rules became, we're not buying a game until we rent it first.
We weren't a renting family.
Oh, you didn't rent the games.
Nope. We maybe got one or two games a year, and
we just got burnt so bad. Like, we'd get a game and it would cost some,
they were like 50, 60 bucks back then.
Right. Some great amount of money.
Yeah.
And we would play it and realize that we hated it like that night, and my parents would get so mad.
Oh yeah. Because I can remember the best place to going for games would be like Toys R Us, because they had just this wall of Nintendo games, and then you took like the tag off the wall and you took it to the cash register.
Because they were behind glass, weren't
yeah.
they? Up behind
yep.
glass.
Yep. Yeah, they were. That wall. And you just go there, and it would be like a teenage boy's Graceland, just like mountains and mountains of games. And it was just like, wow, I'm allowed to get one. What's it going to be? My brother always went for the sports games. I always went for like the action adventure. But I have to say that some of the sports games my brother got, well, he had this one, it was ice hockey. It was called Blades of Steel. Fantastic game. We would force our guys to fight.
Nice. Because,
and then it would like go to like an automatic screen where you weren't controlling for like a second, and you would see your guys throw off their gloves, and then you were in control again, and you just box it and fight it out. It was amazing. I loved it.
So you got a Nintendo.
I think that was you.
but you had one also.
I did have one. I think that goes down as maybe the top gift. I think we got off track a little bit, but we could.
That's all right. That happens, right?
Yeah, we could have done a whole podcast on Nintendo. We might have to revisit this one.
That just sparked it up right there.
It did. So I mean, it just goes to show the types of things that the magic of Christmas can do,
right?
Even as an adult, 39 and 40 years old, boy, we were thinking back, and gosh, we went off on a little tangent there.
The joy that a good Christmas gift can give you.
Absolutely. Well, let's think, what are some great things about Christmas that maybe we haven't covered?
Well, the tree.
Oh yeah, the tree. Oh, go ahead, and then I'll tell my story.
My story. I knocked a tree over. That's the story. It was so horrible. It was so traumatic.
How old were you?
I was so young. I was walking to elementary school, and before I left, I think I was watering the tree. I think that's why I was underneath the tree. I think I was trying to do something good.
Yep, because if you didn't, all the needles would go everywhere.
And I think, I don't know if it was mandated. I don't know why. I probably wouldn't have watered it unless somebody asked me to.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh.
But I remember the tripod that it sat on, and I must have gotten under there in a bad way.
Bye-bye tree.
And it started going, and then when it hit on the tile floor,
that was it.
The glass ornaments balls. Broke.
Yeah, everything was glass, and oh gosh, everyone probably had like their antique
and
ornament.
My mom just, I was under the tree.
Right.
I just opened the sliding glass door and ran. Then went to school.
God, it was before school. What a way to start the day.
I got home. She said, Stevie, I'm not mad at you.
But wait till your father gets home. <'Cause you're getting laughs> yeah. Well, decorating the tree in my house growing up as a kid, it was always something that we looked forward to, but at the same time, we were a little bit nervous about. My dad, God bless him, he was just a creature of habit, and he just liked things the way that he did. And sometimes he could become a killjoy. because as a kid, you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to put the ornament here. I'll put this tinsel on whoever I want. And he would just get so upset. And yeah, that's not how you put tinsel on a tree. You lay it. You don't throw it. Before you knew it, we were all sitting on the couch with basically ready to cry. My dad's doing the tree himself. My mom's coming in. Steve, why aren't any of these kids helping with the tree? Because none of them know how to do it right. I think that after, by the time I was 12 years old, my dad was just decorating the tree by himself because everyone was like, the heck with this nonsense.
Is everybody ready to watch me trim the tree?
Yeah, so it would go from being great things to just being like, oh God, it's time for the tree. No thanks. And those are some of the funniest things too, thinking back. Like, it's almost like a Griswold Christmas, I'm sure.
Right.
And so many families just have the remember this when this happened on Christmas. So that could be something that we could tell our listeners to go out after they listen to this. As a matter of fact, let's do that. Go out to and visit our Facebook page and put in the comment section from the place that we provided, what is the biggest disaster that's happened to you on Christmas, but now looking back, it's funny for you?
Right. Something that maybe you share with your brothers and sisters, where it, even if it's an inside joke and you can explain it, and just post it up there, share it with the rest of us so we can all laugh at it together, because that was just such a joy to do.
Absolutely. So and we'll go through them, we'll pick some of the funniest ones, and
we'll read them.
Yeah, we'll read them, and we'll give a shout out to you on our podcast. But being the fact that it is this close to Christmas, I'm not sure, is this going to be our last podcast for the year?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we'll get another one in.
Okay, because Christmas is what, Sunday next week?
Sunday, then we have a whole another week.
Okay. So, yeah. So, we'll definitely get another one in then before 2017 rolls around. I know from what I've seen on social media, a lot of people are excited for 2016 to be over and start 2017. I don't know. I mean, I had a pretty good year.
I had a fantastic. I love this year.
One thing that I forgot to mention at the beginning when we were just doing our introduction is, before we wrap up here, is tomorrow I'm auditioning for Survivor.
Oh
yeah, I've been a lifetime viewer of Survivor, and tomorrow they're having an open casting call in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and Foltz is going for it.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you so much, and I guess I'll let you all know whether I'm going to be on or not, but aside from that, I just want to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas, and I'll say it, even though we're probably going to do another one, a Happy New Year, and we hope you enjoyed our Christmas edition. You all take care of each other.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye-bye.